Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hello, everybody. There are so many great things about the weeks leading up to Christmas. You open the advent calendars, the fridge in your kitchen or the door in your kitchen becomes crowded with Christmas cards. Betty just sent ours out, the family at a Chicago Fire game. Why? Well, we're wearing red. And it's not really about the presents, is it? It's about preparing your heart and soul for a gift that's coming. And I don't mean the stupid car in the driveway with a bow on it, or a pair of slippers, or an iPhone. Also, you prepare for guests if you're lucky. I spent last weekend and this coming weekend making beef stock for that cast onion soup. We've got a crowd and people coming in, and we're very lucky. And I find myself listening to classical music, to choral music, as I drive into work. And those who don't like Christmas or won't say Merry Christmas, hey, that's okay. This is America. People can still say some things that are on their mind. And if you want to get up all riled up about a war on Christmas, I'm wondering if you're really beating your chest and calling attention to yourself. Remember that conservative TV news anchor who made war on Christmas his thing? And then he left in disgrace over sexual harassing women in the workplace and those sex toys? No. Not Matt Lauer. No, not Charlie Rose. O'Reilly. Yeah, I know you need a scorecard to remember them all. So like I said, I like Christmas, and maybe you don't, but still, hey, either way, don't upset the children. And then comes Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's another controversy now. The attacks on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know, that cheap animated film that's been around for like, I don't know, 50, 60 years, it's kind of driving me crazy. And I don't even like the Santa thing or the Rudolph thing. Santa wasn't some jolly fat guy in a red suit. He didn't have a husband. His name was Nicholas, and he was the Christian bishop at a time of the Council of Nicaea when the Gospels were set and the Creed was written down. They say St. Nicholas was kindly and gave gifts to the poor. Yes, but he also beat the heck out of heretics. He'd walk across the Council of Nicaea and smack a heretic right in the face. And I wonder what he'd think of this new outrage with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer being called racist. This is a liberal thing, yes. I've seen it. Maybe you've heard about it. Those who are arguing that Rudolph's daddy, Donner, verbally abuses him, that Santa makes fun of Donner for the boy's red nose, that Rudolph's girlfriend, Clarice, has a father who's a bigot, and that even the elf is an outcast because he wants to become an oral surgeon. Really? You must walk in lockstep with everyone else or be shamed? That doesn't sound like Christmas. That sounds like social media. Yeah, Christmas is coming. Yes, I can't wait. I'm making the stock. I'm counting the days. But some days I just wish St. Nicholas would come back and smack some sense into a few people. I'm just saying. This is the Chicago way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
The story about the tourists.
What, Jeff Carlin? I have not seen the story of the tourists. This is John Cass, the Chicago Way, with Jeff Carlin. Not with, because that's a radio thing, like you're
right.
Like the junior partner. You're the guy who started this damn Aww. Thing. Okay, so Jeff Carlin, John Cass, yeah. What did I see that I missed?
Well, you may have missed this last week because there was a lot happening. But in Chicago, we had the story of the quote-unquote tourists who were walking around, supposedly, downtown, following their GPS to their hotel.
Right.
And somehow their GPS took them down to Lower Wacker, where they were approached by three men, one with a knife, and were forced to hand over their luggage, a very valuable ring, a very valuable laptop, a very valuable iPad, and totaling about $20,000.
Right.
And then it turned—
Because you carry all that
Oh,
stuff.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, when I go on vacation, I try to bring at least $20,000 worth of things with me in case I get robbed so I can make the news.
Especially when you go down into a dark subterranean corridor.
Absolutely. Right? Yep. And for those who aren't familiar with Chicago, but Wacker Drive is a— a lower enclosed piece of Chicago that's mostly designed for Teamsters and union workers to get around. And
mommies don't like it because they get scared. It's the daddy shortcut, at least in my sexist past.
Sure.
Of course, not now.
Not now, no.
It's a place where Batman.
Yeah, they film Batman. They filmed that scene from the Chris Nolan Batmans where they were cruising through underground and they have the pillars flying by them. But anyway, so it's not a place you'd normally go to. You really have to force yourself down there. It's not like you can just wander a street and you turn a corner and you're on Lower Wacker. You have to go down the stairs. You have to really know exactly what you're doing. So these two buffoons.
They were robbed.
They were robbed. And so it was all over the news and people were upraged. Oh, my God, Chicago's violence is getting so bad that even tourists are being robbed. It's terrible. Tourists, don't go there, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that these folks were lying.
Where's the charge?
Well, the charges are supposedly pending. As we recorded this, they were pending, but I hadn't seen anything official. But they had been arrested. They were taken into custody.
Put them in the county jail. Let them sit there waiting for Tom Dart. When their lawyers come, they can see all the other guys waiting for their lawyers and what happens.
Yeah, they really want
another sick thing. I don't even want to talk about it. But Tom Dart, will you please take care of this? For God's sake, it's embarrassing.
If they really want to see the seedy underbelly of Chicago, they're going to get it in lockup, that's for sure.
That really bothered me, too. I hate those kind of things. I hate those stories or the... there's racist graffiti, and then it turns out that a minority person does it, and it's like, wait a minute, why are we so eager to jump on? You know, somebody coming in the door?
No,
oh, I just saw the door open back there through your glass.
It was a ghost.
It was a ghost. All right, so so what should happen to them?
I believe we should be able to bring back tar and feathering. We should be able to take them out on Michigan Avenue, right in the median strip here. And they should be tarred and feathered. We'll put up heat lamps so they don't freeze because that's inhumane. But I think they should be tarred and feathered and shackled and left to be made fun of for the entire afternoon.
They're lucky I'm not king.
Right.
Because then I would say, okay, you lied with your mouth and you stole with your hands. So either it's a hand or your tongue. Which do you choose?
You choose.
Choose. Like Joffrey, remember?
Yeah.
Joffrey in
Game of Thrones.
Wait. Did you hear it right that now it's going to be 2019?
We kind of knew that.
No, I thought 2018.
No, because they were starting the production and they were going to run through the winter season, so that would take them pretty far. And then by the time they would get into it would only leave them like 5 months of post-production time to get up and for the fall for 18.
Right.
And we talked about this on the Castle Thrones podcast at the end.
Oh yeah,
there,
remember?
With Mara.
Oh, I love those.
And those are great. But, yes, that will not come up.
Liked them. I don't know if anyone else did, but we liked them.
We enjoyed it.
Yeah, but so it's good. All right, are there old people? Wait, most of the cast is still young enough that they're not going to die tomorrow.
Right. I mean, the oldest, maybe some of them, misers maybe. Misers.
Maesters.
Maesters. I'm thinking of Rudolph. the Meisters, some of the Meisters were probably the oldest of the crews there.
Hey, I got another thing for you.
Uh-huh.
What's going on in radio these days? How's the radio thing in the afternoon? What was the... You said earlier in the week I had some producer fires to put out. What happened?
Oh, yeah.
Can you give us some inside
gossip
about the show?
No important gossip. Just people... We're working on a Christmas special, so there were some things that were overlooked by some people and that needed some quick handling. So I was called in to put out said fires.
There you go. Because there's nothing like a raging talent.
Yeah? It wasn't that, thank God. No. Because that's the worst.
That is the worst. Well, okay. So what else is going on? We're going to have we were hoping that Scott Stannis, has he blown us off?
I don't know. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, maybe he's in an editorial board meeting where they're trying to figure out.
He might be.
Well, there was something. Let's see what else is going on. Okay, I'll give you one. What's with these politicians that filed a brief before the Supreme Court, Chicago politicians, all of them tight with Madigan,
right,
by the way, asking what constitutes a bribe?
Right.
Like, please, good sirs of the court, tell us what is a bribe so we may what?
So avoid it?
You may avoid punishment and just get almost to the edge of bribes.
Right.
What is that?
That's like we should require all police officers in cars running radar to have their lights on flashing so we can see them. And that way we know we can speed around them.
Here's another one. Forrest Claypool.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a policy in the Chicago public schools that a student who is caught repeatedly lying for his own benefit, is there something like, do they have to stay after school?
I'd imagine there's some sort of suspension, some sort of punishment there.
Right. In the old days, it was
ruler across
your
the
dad
knuckles
with a belt,
or that.
Right? Or you made me come down to school.
Oh man!
Right? Oh my God! Wow. And now Forrest Claypool accused by the Inspector General of being a liar, of lying about a deal where his friend makes money. How does that work? And then Rahm's supporting him?
Right.
Okay, here's one for you. You heard what Rahm said, right?
Mm-hmm.
That he has Forrest back?
Yeah. He had somebody else's back, didn't he?
What would you rather have? Be a manager and have the owner give you a vote of confidence, like in August when mm-hmm. your team's in the crapper, or have a mayor of Chicago named Emmanuel say, "I've got your back, baby."
Oof, that's a tough one.
Right?
Ay, ay, ay.
Now, we'd have more of a controversy about this if there were people running.
Right.
What's going on with that? You see how it works in Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, silence. Come on, crickets.
Yeah. I mean, Chewy Garcia would be all over this.
Chewy, yeah.
I mean, he'd be the perfect foil for this, being tight with the school unions. I mean, there's no way. But no, he's mysteriously not worried about it anymore. That's weird.
Why?
He's got other ambitions, I've heard.
Oh, he's running for Congress.
Oh, that's right.
So Grom gets him out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
No one else says anything. Gutierrez wants to know what constitutes a bribe,
right.
Supreme Court. Right? Before mm-hmm. he does his real estate stuff in Puerto Rico. And this is the town we live in. And then there was I don't know if you saw it, the big expose in the Tribune about property taxes and Joe Berrios.
And it's something they've been running for a while, and Berrios' stock answer is, you don't understand the formula. You don't understand how it works. It's just the formula. The formula can't be racist. No, it's not.
I don't know if it's racist.
No, but I mean, discriminatory. Because I mean, they say that the point is that it's clearly people who can't afford a good lawyer get screwed.
Oh my God, who's that?
Everybody.
Wait. So in other words, if you're a big downtown realist or company, you know, big money, you can hire a guy like Mike Madigan,
mm-hmm.
who's the boss of Illinois, and reduce your real estate taxes. But if you have a bungalow on Milwaukee Avenue, or out in Hinsdale or wherever, you pay through the nose.
Yep. It's a scam. And I love the piece of the Tribune report where it lays out that, yes, this is unfortunate. This is, you know, people are getting the shaft here. But thankfully, the lawyers are the ones who are reaping all the benefits. Like, they gamed the system. They were ones who wrote the rules. They set this whole thing up. And they're getting fat rich off of it. And who's getting the shaft? The little people. Everybody, really. But
why do the Chumbalones take it?
I don't know. It must be the weather.
I mean, they vote Democratic. It's not, look, don't freak out, all you biscuit eaters from the SEIU that love to listen to this and then hate on me.
Okay? Right.
It's not about party. But in this state, mm-hmm. in this town, it's the party that runs things. It could be called Republicans
right.
in other
big
places.
D, big R, doesn't matter.
Here, it's Democrats. Madigan's the boss Democrat. People still vote Democrat for their state reps, and those state reps in the city and the suburbs are the guys who put Madigan in power.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
It's amazing, and it's
look at your property tax bill, moron.
And it's this whole idea that it's like you saw this week. So you know, Representative Conyers last week, rather, Representative Conyers
shorts,
right? Resigns.
That's Democrat. Please touch it.
Yeah, right. He's going to resign. He's done. He's retiring. But then he tabs his own son to replace him. That's what's wrong with this country.
He's got his son and his grandson.
Right.
They're both named Conyers.
Right. And his George Washington would come out of his grave and beat the crap out of him for even thinking that he should be able to appoint his kin to his seat.
Oh, yeah.
And then his kin is arrested for domestic assault. And it's like, oh, really?
Well, it wasn't like that's not putting his hands on the secretary.
No.
Right? It's just beating his wife.
Just getting in a fight with his wife and supposedly accidentally stabbing her with a knife she was holding.
Really?
Yeah, that's the story.
And then what? He walks into the court and gets a public defender?
Yeah,
I do. Because I remember hearing a figure in Chicago doing that, using a public defender once. I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah, let's not.
But amazing, huh?
Yeah.
What is with people?
I don't know.
It's kind of aggravating.
It is. It's infuriating even. Almost as infuriating as Chicago getting another soccer team.
Shut up. What's wrong with that?
I mean, it stinks because, one, it's not an MLS team. It's just, you know, ILS or IHL, whatever it is.
NASL.
There you go. And a city's having trouble supporting in numbers one and a decent team.
This is the stadium that'll be on the near north side.
Yeah,
right?
If you don't know, this is part of the location where the old Finkel steel plant,
right.
And it's where they want to put Amazon 2, you know.
Where they should have put the DePaul Arena.
Right.
Instead of spending $100 million of our taxpayer money that no one wanted to put it down on McCormick Place. Why? So that they could have this real estate to develop for their friends.
To dangle, right.
But if they put a beautiful soccer stadium there, then there'll be pubs. And we go to the stadium, we go to the pubs, we drink our Guinness, we eat our, you know, pie, and then, not blueberry.
No.
But savory pie.
A savory pie, yeah, right.
And then we walk out full of Guinness and pie and walk.
With our scarves.
Wouldn't that be glorious?
I'm certainly looking forward to it, but I think it's just so goofy.
What's goofy about it?
Because we've got a team already, and we. Why?
I'm a season ticket holder.
I know.
Proud fire till I die guy. Although I don't know. I mean, here's the thing:
it's you die or they die.
I'm starting a campaign. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. I tweeted this out. Is Ken Griffin the champion that Chicago soccer has been waiting for? Ken Griffin, richest man in the state.
Right.
Billions and billions and billions. Like, this guy makes $100 million when he wakes up in the morning.
Right.
Right? He's got so many billions that it's just, if you put it in the bank, whatever, I don't know.
Right. The interest on his loan is probably $100 million a day.
And that could just buy a soccer team easy.
Right.
So, and he loves soccer.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it in the paper, Tribune, Inc. column. He loves soccer. He's building all these soccer friendly fields in
mm-hmm.
Chicago, right? With his own, like, here's some money, go build it. I love soccer. He played soccer. He had several knee injuries and had to stop. Okay, now tell me if he wouldn't. Is that, you've been around the news a while now?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the kind of thing somebody does when they want to test the waters? See how it works. See if the people love it. I love it. Actually, I'm almost thinking about Ken Griffin. If he could buy a soccer team and you know, fund and put like real players,
mm-hmm.
then I would like him to be mayor and governor at the same time. A few months ago, I wrote a column about a man who was shooting himself in the foot. Actually, he shot both of his feet off, and he's running for governor again. And this candidate who comes on the horizon challenging him, Bruce Rauner, has basically, I think, totally tubed his candidacy by supporting sanctuary cities and abortion on demand, killing his base, and Jeannie Ives of Wheaton, State Senator Jeannie Ives.
State rep.
I'm sorry, state rep.
Yep.
You can leave that. You don't have to cut it out. I screwed it up. I own my mistakes. State Rep Jeannie Ives, who's been, how long have you been in office now?
So I'm a 3-term state rep. I've been there 5 years. I've got another year left.
Another year left, and you're running.
But I'm running for governor, so I'm giving up a safe seat in, nice Wheaton where I represent really great people. And I've enjoyed the job, by the way. I've really enjoyed taking my views and my constituents' views to Springfield and arguing on behalf of them. I thoroughly enjoy that. But you know what? I can't stay there anymore under the current circumstances when we have got a failed governor on our side who needs to be taken out.
Now, you held a news conference last week about Sanctuary City, and you were with Brian McCann,
mm-hmm.
the brother
yes.
of a guy I wrote about years ago, Dennis McCann, who was walking across the street, I think Logan Boulevard, killed by a drunk driver who was an illegal immigrant and was basically set free.
Yep, right around the holiday time. He was set free because nobody was notified. ICE wasn't notified in time to pick him up. And that's essentially the law that was the Sanctuary City law that was Chicago at that time. Well, that same process has now been extended to all of the state under Governor Rauner's signature. So he's made the entire state less safe. All the people are less safe because this can happen in any community at any time. Where illegal is charged with a serious crime like that, he bonds out, and if you don't have a warrant on him, he's out of there and gone before justice can be served.
Does it make it less safe, State Rep. Ives, or is it more of an affront to people who think that a sovereign nation, the people of that nation, get to make their own immigration policy?
Well, it's a combination. We are less safe today. And we are violating federal immigration law when we fail to send over to ICE people that are known illegal immigrants. They've broken the law to get in here. It's not up to us to determine the outcome of whether or not they get deported. It's up to ICE and the federal agents to determine if they get deported. But it's also made us less safe. I mean, the reason we had the press conference, because it came in the wake of the Kate Steinle verdict that acquitted the man who shot the gun and whose bullet then killed her.
Right.
And so it makes you less
safe.
And he
walked.
He walked, too.
He walked on murder and manslaughter charges.
That's right. But the thing about him is that he should have been deported once again after his five deportations, and they didn't do that. And so it's less safe when you don't hand people like that who have a criminal record, which also the man who killed Dennis McCann had a criminal record. That's right. So he should have been deported as well and sent over to ICE without bonding out. So it made everybody less safe.
What is that about? This desire by politicians to change or thwart federal immigration law. Why is this happening?
It's only got to be for political reasons. They are pandering to a constituency where they think they can pick up votes. I mean, there's absolutely no other reason that would occur. So because it doesn't make sense. I mean, the executive is in charge of enforcing the laws, and the governor is the executive of the state of Illinois. You should be enforcing the laws, and that includes compliance with federal laws. So they're pandering because they want the votes. They don't want unrest. They don't like their names, they don't like being called a racist or whatever you have it.
You can call me whatever you want because I don't care. I'm not changing.
That's right.
But for Rauner to do this was stunning to me. I could not believe it. I mean, I called him up after and I just couldn't. I had heard McCann said he's going to sign it. He's going to sign Sanctuary City. I said, no way. You don't do that if you're running in a Republican campaign. You can't do that politically.
He actually thinks it picks up votes for him, apparently. I think it's a terrible – I think even Democrats understand the rule of law. People rather be judged by the rules of law instead of the rules of a man and the haphazard enforcement of laws. I think everybody wants to be safe in the city. I don't care what your political stripe is. But the worst thing about it is Governor Rauner basically lied to Brett Baer on that interview he did when Bret Baier was asking him repeatedly, are you going to sign Sanctuary State? Are you going to sign it? He would not say yes or no. And then 2.5 weeks later, he does sign it after having had the bill for over 2 months. He knew what he was going to do. He didn't want to admit on you know, nationwide TV that he was going to pander to the political left and sign something like Sanctuary State, which actually has not been signed to law by a governor since, I think, 1977 prior to that. And then quickly afterwards, California, of course, does its own version of it.
We're speaking to Gene Ives, state rep from Wheaton, conservative Republican. She's running against Bruce Rauner in the Illinois Republican primary. First, we have to know something about you.
Sure.
People do know. You're a West Point graduate. You're a former officer in the United States Army. And you're married to a former officer in the United States Army, also a West Point grad. Mm-hmm. And you have how many kids?
I have 5 children.
5 children. Mm-hmm. And how many are still at home, or are they all?
So the oldest, Matt, is up in Alaska. He's an Army infantry officer, and he's got a Ranger tab, so we're very proud of him. And then our second son, Nick, is actually a West Point graduate too, but the contrarian that he is, he cross-commissioned to the Navy.
He wants to fly?
Yes. So he is down in Corpus Christi getting his, certified to fly for the Navy. He still roots for the Army, though, in the Army-Navy game, which is the right thing to do. And then I've got a son, Andrew. He's at Ole Miss studying accounting. I've got a junior in high school who's a big sports guy. And then I've got an 8th grade daughter at St. Michael's.
So the daughter's the baby.
Yep.
So
four
Paul
boys.
Is your husband,
yes.
Right? So Paul will have somebody to bring a glass of water to him when he's an old man. Here's the question, though, and I was thinking about this. I was talking this over with the guys. I had to ask you, one of those personal things.
Sure.
When your kids had to make their beds, did you bounce the quarter off the bed? I mean, what kind of or did you let them have messy bedrooms like every other teenager?
Yeah,
or
they
were
had
you
messy
like,
bedrooms.
You will police the area.
No,
I mean,
I gave up a lot of that type of discipline when I became a mother because you just can't keep up with it. But, they're disciplined in all sorts of other ways. So we teach our kids to be to respect their teachers and adults. We teach them to be coachable. I think it's super important. You got to be coachable if you want to actually succeed. We're on them about their grades, but we don't do their homework for them. It's been... But otherwise, we're typical parents.
So you didn't answer my question. Did you bounce the quarter off the bed?
No.
Mitered corners?
No, but I still make my bed that way, though.
Mitered corners? Oh, yeah. That's how you run a household.
Yep.
I just turn it over. I press 3, right? I turn it over to Betty. Betty does everything on that score.
Probably smart.
Yeah, I am very smart in that regard. I don't know if you have met
our
other guest, Scott Stanis.
Oh, my goodness.
Look, there he is, Scott
Stanis. The cartoonist.
You made your premiere in my cartoons this week.
That's right.
Thank you.
I'm hoping you're in there a lot.
Did she ask for
in the next 4 years.
Whoa, Scott.
He pays attention. He pays attention to what's going on.
Am I right? We have a conservative running, a conservative Republican in the state of Illinois. Good Lord. I think the three of them in the state are right here, right now.
There's three. There's a couple. There's another one downstairs on 4. She's hiding right now.
Yes.
That's about it.
She says she
I think that's it.
Yeah, I think in this building, certainly, yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, I don't want to give you too much material, but, we hope that you keep it up.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm excited by this. Your campaign. I really, really am.
Thank you. We are too.
What is the protocol for the politician or political figure? You're not really consider you a politician. Politicians to me try to get Mike Madigan real estate business on the side, and I don't go for that. But when someone writes draws a cartoon, do people ask for it? Like, may I have that cartoon signed?
Yeah, some do. Really? The good ones do. It's rare, but it's...
Is it like a honor?
No. Can I tell a very quick story? A governor of Tennessee, when I worked at the Commercial Appeal in Memphis there, great guy, Ned Ray McWhorter. That was his name. He was about 6'6", 300-plus pounds. Great guy. And it actually turned out to be a very...
Falstaff. Yeah.
It was the first and one of the very few Democrats I ever voted for because he was more conservative than the Republican running. And so I did cartoons about him. And his chief of staff would always call and say the next day and say, "The governor loved your cartoon. Can we have the original?" I was flattered originally, but it kept happening. I kept drawing him worse and worse until I actually did a cartoon of him. He decided that he backed a bill outlawing bingo. So I have him beating old people with their own walkers.
Yeah.
That's the cartoon. And they called the next day and said, "Can we have the original?" No. So I inscribed his fair governor, Ned Ray McWhorter. There's just no insulting USOPs, is there?
All right. We understand now the protocol. Gene Ives, how do you defeat Rauner, who's got, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars? How do you defeat that?
Oh, we're already defeating him. Look, I just did a downstates tour. And nobody is voting for that man that I talked to. And I've talked to movers and shakers in the Republican Party. Downstate, they're very upset with him. And so we're already defeating him. We've done some polling. He's extremely vulnerable. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. You cannot buy back trust after betrayal. And he has betrayed our party, our values, and quite frankly, he's betrayed even Democrats who voted for him. He promised a conservative reform agenda on the fiscal side and that he'd stay off of social issues. The only thing he got across really was his social agenda, which is extreme
and
very
and
left.
To the left.
Right, exactly. And then he did a bunch of crony bailouts. So on the fiscal side, he's got nothing to hang his hat on either. You know, the crony bailout of Exelon. On the backs of ratepayers in our state, when we actually push energy to the surrounding states, well, we're just subsidizing now energy in other states. That was a total bailout bill that he didn't have to do. Obviously he bailed out Chicago Public Schools.
How
on the
so?
Backs of,
Explain
well,
that.
That education bill, what a disaster! You know, one week he's saying that it's a terrible bill. The next week he's signing it. And the reason you know that we got all screwed was Rahm Emanuel said we got everything we wanted and more after the signing of that bill. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know. I mean, here's his buddy Rahm. He's bailing them out. And then you look at the Jason Grotto series of articles about the assessment process. And now you even got Kennedy, who I agree with, saying burials needs to go. Yeah, well, I've been saying that for 3 years to begin with. But he does need to go. And so the foundation of the education formula is how much property wealth you have. And Chicago is hiding its wealth. And so they should be a tier four school, not a tier one school. So they should be among the most able to provide education, not the least. And the entire bill does the opposite.
Your argument is that Chicago hides its wealth to use that for downtown big shot real estate developers,
yep,
and pay off those TIFs that way, and the average bungalow either in the city or throughout the state,
yeah,
the average homeowner gets nailed and loses incredible amounts of equity in their home because property taxes keep going up. I'm sorry. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. But it's not just me saying it. And honestly, I have been on the forefront of this issue for 3 years and spoke about it on the House floor repeatedly. You know, you had the Willis Tower sell for over $1 million. It's on the books for, you know, 50% of that cost. Well, what's going on there? You've got $6 billion hidden in TIFs. And then Rahm Emanuel wants to talk about the $10 billion in new development coming online. Well, all that's going to be hidden from the education formula, too. So taxpayers statewide get taken advantage of.
Well, but to be fair, mm-hmm, you can still go to Mike Madigan or Ed Burke and get your assessment changed. So there's that.
That was the story. That's
well,
the story
if you're wealthy enough
tribute.
To do that.
Right.
Yeah. If,
right.
Yeah. But it's poor minority homeowners that are getting hammered in the city of Chicago.
So why do they keep voting Democrat in the suburbs?
I don't know. We're going to change that. We're going to change that.
Why have they? I mean, they're getting killed with taxes. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless it's like an SEIU household or something,
sure,
or it's a union baby household, and everybody, and I'm not talking about the carpenters and the pipe fitters and guys that I know that aren't like, mm-hmm, you know, but I'm talking about the public workers' unions. If you're in that, I can understand you like the deal because you want to keep the Ponzi scheme going as long as possible. But if you're anyone else, how do you vote Democrat in this state? Because you know that Mike Madigan will be the boss of it.
Well, because you've been lied to. You know, they lie to you at your doorstep. You get all these state reps and, oh, I'm pro-business. I'm all about business. Every single Democrat who has a voting record longer than a year has been voted by business groups, and every single Democrat has a failing grade with business. Now, why don't people know that? And yet they go to these Chamber of Commerce meetings and say, oh, yeah, well, we lowered your LLC fees by $100. Big deal. Doesn't matter. You know, that's what's frustrating is that it takes a lot of effort to actually inform people about the votes that matter.
That sounds like almost a very polite and diplomatic indictment of the media.
You think?
Almost.
No.
I would say.
Well, no. You guys have a role in it, and so thank you for having me on.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, we don't want to get into that whole, you know, turning over rocks, because you never know what you'll find under those rocks, right, when we pull them over.
Here we come a-wassailing among the leaves so green, and here we come a-wandering so fair to be seen. Love and joy come to you, and to you your wassail too, and God bless you and send you a happy
I think you're year. Correct that, well, you haven't stated it, so let me ask you. With Madigan's complete control over the of Springfield, and in this I kind of agree with Rauner on, he's been able to control the agenda in terms of news, right? Isn't he? I'm not talking about controlling media, but isn't he able to the pace and the way the narrative and the way stories come out and who gets what tip and all that? Isn't that right out of that?
I would say some of the media has done a good job exposing Madigan and his games. And I, you know, obviously I think he's got a 13% approval rating. So most people don't like Madigan. I think that there's that animosity towards him by media constituents and everything. They just don't know how to get him out, right? They don't know how.
How do you get him out?
Well, you have to go to the people who put him in. Vote him in as speaker. So you have to go to their members, and then you have to put the pressure on the individual voters so that they know that their members are voting for a guy who's been scamming the system for so long. But, you know, look, as far as Rauner's, I'm not in charge. That is an outrageous statement for
why?
A governor to make.
Thank
no,
you.
It's not outrageous. It's just outrageous.
No, John doesn't believe that.
You're on the battlefield, and the general says, well, I'm not in charge here. Really? Okay, then you know what? Put yourself in the rear. You know, go.
It was Paths of Glory.
You know, get behind me because I'm going to lead the charge. If you're not going to be in charge, well, let me lead the charge then, will you please? And I'll do that. But you know, it's obvious that he's not in charge because he hasn't taken on core issues that are important to Illinoisans, and he hasn't. You know, he's failed to message past. You know, continuously and relentlessly message about what needs to happen and message past the politicians. You can't sit down there and have a personal feud with Madigan. You got to go to the people and let them know in every single small town what has to happen.
So how would you?
That's exactly what I would do. I would do that plus more. Plus, I'd lead on the issues that you can as an executive. Look, he hasn't taken on public corruption. I mean, are you guys outraged or not? $600,000? To the NIU president who was caught violating our procurement laws, who an OEIG report said that he has mismanaged Northern Illinois University, who got caught by the Auditor General violating our FOIA laws, and he gets a $600,000 severance payment instead of being in handcuffs. What's going on? Rauner controls that board. He has he appointed four members of that board. He controls it. He's not said one word on it. He's not taking his board members to task, at least not publicly that I know of. And he allowed the decision to go forward after they had to re-vote because they violated Open Meetings Act. I mean, give me a break.
You know what the Sicilians say?
What?
Silence is consent.
That's right. That's a good point. I'm going to use that one. Can I borrow that?
Yeah, you can.
Thank you.
I don't have the exact Italian phrasing, but
no,
I'll
and you,
call
and
my
you need
barber,
a pinky ring when you say
I'll call
it.
No, it's not a pinky ring. I'll call Raphael, and he'll tell. But yeah, I mean, when you're quiet on something,
that's right.
Right, Scott?
Absolutely. So, and that's the thing about Rauner, which I mean, I couldn't agree with the representative more, is that he's been a massive disappointment. The editorial board for the Chicago Tribune endorsed him. We supported him. We were actually pretty excited about having someone who seemed to be out of the mainstream and said all the right things. But what a train wreck. I mean, it just has been a catastrophe. And a mass, as you mentioned, as a Republican, as a conservative, it's been an even more egregious disappointment. So,
Yeah, he's failed on the policy front, too. You know, he that education bill is, you know, case in point. He let his secretary Purvis get way above out of, in front of her skis without knowing the details of the legislation, and they couldn't pull it back then.
Well, what about the budget deal also?
Yeah, he left the battlefield. He just stopped arguing about the budget. In fact, he proposed a budget that was larger than the one that was actually passed by the Democrats. And, you know, he never proposed a balanced budget either. He would never actually go out and say, well, I want $5 billion more in tax increases. Instead, he just let it happen.
And the pension plan, mm-hmm. the pension debacle still festers.
It still festers. Then he came up with a marginal hybrid reform and then gave no start date for where it had to be implemented by. So that was a disaster. And then we've had a trailer bill on that already. I mean, and they counted $500 million in savings on a bill that they never gave a start date to. And put it in the budget to make it balanced. I mean, it was just a charade, and yet nobody called it out because in the end, he just needed something done because he failed to lead earlier.
At first, I thought the first year or so, I thought it was a staff problem. I thought that he was, overwhelmed by political insiders who—
Or his wife.
All right, let's go. Let's go there. You open the door. You open the door. Let's go. What do you mean?
Well, prior to him signing the House Bill 40, which is taxpayer funding of abortion, it was a very small set of people in that final meeting with Republicans. I wasn't one of them, by the way. Mm-hmm. But before he started the meeting, he had his wife come in.
Wow. So when I write a column, Betty should be— editing it for me?
Look, my husband's going to be out trying to, you know, hunt deer or something when right. I'm in office. We will not have this problem or tending his garden.
He will be out, yeah, right. But you'll send him on a diplomatic mission to Utah.
Right.
Okay, Diana Rauner did get involved in the policy side, and he moved far to the left.
Yes, he did.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know how does he recover politically?
We're going to make sure that he doesn't recover politically.
I'm not asking you to give him tips.
Here's the roadmap.
You're really teeing him up for me today, John.
I'm just thinking.
How does he beat Gene Ives? Tell us right now.
Well, what the question is not whether Gene Ives can beat Rauner in the primary, because that really is up to the base of the mm-hmm. Republican Party, and I don't know if he has that base. And that's just, I've said it, right? Haven't I written that before?
That's right.
And his, and I understand what he's trying to do. I'm not in charge, Madigan's in charge. He's running against Madigan, mm-hmm. which.
Again.
Well, I was crusading against Madigan before he became governor.
Sure.
But I don't know if that's enough to do it that way.
No, it's not. I mean, his whole goal here is to try and ignore me, but we will not be ignored, and we're not being ignored, quite frankly. We've done press every single day, multiple times throughout the state. We're getting a really warm reception. You can't beat a candidate like me because the base is with me. And if your base is not with you, you're not going to win, which is why we even took on this challenge. We knew Rauner's base left him not just in the primary, but in the general election. House Bill 40 was the straw that broke the camel's back. Down south, it's sanctuary state and taxpayer funding of abortion. Horrible, politically charged bills that he did not have to sign. Look, the Democrats, even when they had full control and could have done anything they wanted on any single issue, they never did an education funding bill that was garbage. They never did a tax on crisis pregnancy centers by making pro-life pregnancy centers refer for abortion. They never did junk science on transgender. They never did taxpayer funding abortion. They never did sanctuaries. They never did any of this. Rauner did it by his pen. And for that, people want him gone, and that's why I'm in this race.
Let me ask you this real quick. John has written forever about the
not forever. Since 1872.
Right after the fire, right?
Right.
Ulysses S. Grant was president. How's the party, the regulars, the entrenched? How are they reacting to this, to your candidacy? Because you are running against, obviously, an incumbent GOP governor. How are they? Have you heard, inside baseball, outside baseball? What's the reaction been?
It's a little bit mixed. You've got some party elites that obviously are for Rauner.
But and they've done great by the Republican Party in this state.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, right, exactly. They've had a lot of success running against Madigan, haven't they? Hasn't worked so far.
Well, it's hard because he's their lawyer on their real estate.
Yeah, well, that is
right.
True.
So it's hard.
It's the classic John Cass combine.
Right, yeah.
We know it. Yeah, there's definitely people there with Rauner, but I'll tell you what, down south I met with, you know, nine county chairmen. I'm talking south. I was in Vienna. That's not Vienna. It's Vienna down there. And, you know, had a great conversation with those men.
What were you talking about? Brought them over to my side. I'd love to be able to put a salt lick out here off my porch and shoot my deer without having to walk.
That's exactly. That's the other part of Illinois. That's why we chose Rich Morthland for our lieutenant governor. He's a farmer, community college professor, Rock Island County, which is borders Iowa. So they see the out migration all the time, right?
Right.
And so we actually are very concerned about the forgotten parts of Illinois. We are not just the suburbs in Chicago. That's why Rich is important to this campaign, because, you know, the Democrats that are headquartered in Chicago and make all the rules up in Springfield have forgotten the rest of the state, and we haven't. And so we're resonating with them.
Well, Rauner's argument's going to be, and it already is, that, you know, primary aside, Pritzker is going to be the candidate for the Democrats, and Jeannie Ives doesn't have the money or cannot stand up to Pritzker in that ginormous machine, you know, political machine.
Oh, gosh. I got a story for you.
Okay.
You're going to find this interesting.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you know, these mythological figureheads that are just big, you know, money bags for other big money bags. You know, for example, Pritzker donating to Blagojevich, you know, Madigan donating to Pritzker to get Pritzker's money back from Madigan's ranks. I mean, everybody's onto this charade, right? Nobody is signing up for any of the Democrats' more spending, more taxes plan in this state, as far as I see it. And that includes practical Chicagoans. But, you know, J.B. Pritzker's wife actually spent part of her childhood in my hometown of Vermilion, South Dakota. In fact, her parents still live in Vermilion, South Dakota, and attend at least the same church that I got confirmed in, married in, and First Communion. So it's kind of an interesting turn of events. And I like to tell people, look, practical Midwesterners do not pull the toilets out of their second mansion to get $250,000 property tax break. I mean, that's not how J.B. Pritzker's wife grew up. She's probably a practical Midwesterner. But that's how JB grew up, you know, ridiculing our laws and doing shenanigans like that. Now we think that that message resonates. We think people are on to these people, and nobody wants a plutocrat in charge of state government, especially one connected to Madigan. So I like to tell that story because I think it says a lot about this state. This state is really, at its base, practical people to some degree, and they're tired of the politics.
Well, let me ask you if I could get into tall weeds. Do you mind?
Go ahead.
Okay, just real quick, because you keep talking about downstate, and you're absolutely right. Recent study, you know, employment studies, job growth outside of Chicago and its suburbs was zero. I'm not making this number up. 0.2. Well, it's actually 1.8%. I mean, that's zero job growth. How do you turn that around? How do you get businesses to come to Cairo or to any place downstate?
Yeah, well, look, we know 86,000 people left the state of Illinois last year, and with them $5 billion in company. And we had this discussion with the downstate folks. And the way you do it is that you win the argument about the reform that has to happen. And you attract those people. At some point, the Democrats have to pay attention to how the economy has been decimated under their policies, because we can't continue this way. And so we're going to have a serious conversation to bring those jobs back to the state of Illinois. Look, we're sitting on the master resource of energy. There's no reason we should not be attractive to all sorts of manufacturing. And the Democrats, I mean, I think the game is really getting close to being up, because they have this balloon payment on pensions they can't afford. The only way you afford this is to restructure some of this stuff and to grow the economy. So we're going to have a hard conversation about leading the state out of the morass. And then we have to look at where we have opportunities down there to enhance infrastructure and attract businesses. I think that we can do that. I think that there's ways to do that.
And one last question. Do you promise not, if as governor, do you promise not to drop your G's?
I hope your I'm not doing that already.
Sold.
Okay, good.
You go up against, so if you defeat Rauner, you're going to go up against Pritzker.
We've already nationalized this race. The National Review online, National Review article.
Oh, worst governor.
Worst Republican governor in America. This race is going to very quickly get nationalized, especially after we beat Rauner on March 20th.
And then they're going to, then Pritzker's going to drop, and the Democrats are going to drop the social justice warrior intolerance card on you.
That's fine.
Your vulnerability with that constituency is comments you made with respect to homosexuals, saying that you didn't like the lifestyle, et cetera.
That's not true. My comments were related to same-sex marriage only, because a child has a natural right to know both mother and father. And oh, by the way, that's the same. Traditional marriage is the same position the governor or President Obama held up until 2012. Mm-hmm. So I still hold that position, and I don't care to regulate in any way adult consensual sexual relationships, but I will be there to defend children.
And okay, we'll bake that cake at another time.
That's good. Let's do that.
Right now we have Jeannie Ives. Thank you very much for coming in.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And I just can't wait to see the debate. When is the debate?
Well, let's do it tomorrow. Let's debate every day.
Has anyone come to you and said there should be a debate, a Republican debate?
Well, you know, the media certainly wants a Republican debate, and Governor Rauner isn't interested in debating me, but we're going to make sure that he gets that opportunity.
Where should we do it? I'm writing the column now, so where should we have the debate?
Can we do it right here on your radio station?
Oh, we should have
We should have like a stand-up debate.
That's great.
And a real debate.
Yes.
Not this,
mutual press conference.
No, I don't like reporters ask questions and they all got buzzed up by some political consultant beforehand. You know, I want issues, one moderator, like classic style, right? Like they do. Are you tough enough to handle that?
Listen, I think the issues are really important to discuss, and I have a big depth of knowledge that I'd like to get out to people.
I think that Governor Rauner is in serious trouble, and I've known that since before you began this campaign. Good luck, Jeannie Ives.
Thank you.
This has been John Cass, Jeff Carlin, Gene Ives, and Scott Stannis, who's been sketching away over here. It's been another edition of the Chicago Way. Remember, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer isn't a racist, and if St. Nicholas could come back, he'd really smack you one if you said that.